By the way, digging through the CDC statistics, which is difficult because the final numbers for 2019, the total number of deaths in the United States has not been posted yet. Preliminary numbers are there. They're pretty close. And then looking at preliminary numbers for 2020, you boil it all down, and excess deaths for 2020 are at about 168,000 that could be attributable to COVID-19. Not 400,000, 168,000. I'll be digging deeper onto this front for you in the days to come. But this is using CDC data, adjusting for anticipated number of deaths, and excess deaths might be about 168,000 attributable to COVID, not 400,000, which means we have grossly overstated potentially the number of deaths involved with the pandemic here in the United States, which I think is entirely possible. Many of you do as well. We'll put the numbers forth. We'll show you our charts and our calculations when we get there, because it's important for you to understand exactly what we're dealing with. And if we're dealing with a number that's been exaggerated by 2.5 times or 3 times, that's problematic to say the least, because it means we've been making decisions on our economy and shutting down businesses based on inflated numbers for COVID-19 deaths, which is something many of us have considered for a long time as being a real possibility. The number of people that are being called COVID deaths are exaggerated, or people that are killed and died from other issues are being put in the COVID-19 column for convenience, for financial gain, for whatever reason it might be, to justify the behavior of the government, potentially. It's going to take a while to sort this out, but right now it looks like, for all of 2020, the numbers that I have pulled together, 168,000 excess deaths in 2020. That can be adjusted. That's subject to change is the point that I'm making. We'll see how we get there. All right, one of the fallouts, one of the problems, not just businesses being closed, schools being shut down since March of 2020. Tens of thousands of schools across this country, millions of students haven't been in the classroom since March of 2020. I have kids in that category. It's been difficult, to say the least. It's been difficult, and that's being polite about it because I can't use other words here on the broadcast. It's been hard on the children. Kids need to socialize and be gregarious and be in groups of friends and sports, band, choir, whatever it is. Not virtual, not singing into a computer, not having class on a computer. And here's the most ridiculous thing. One of my kids let me know yesterday that in-person school and a hybrid model is expected to start soon. Except there's no real point in doing it because all it's going to be is virtual school in a classroom. I said, what do you mean by that? She said, well, the teacher's going to sit there and teach. It's going to be right there on your computer, just like we were at home. And she said, as a result, most kids are like, why are we even bothering to go to the classroom if the teacher's going to conduct themselves in the exact same way? Are we in school? Or are we in virtual school? And it looks like virtual school is going to continue to win out. In Chicago, it's worse. Chicago ditched plans for thousands of teachers to report to school this week. They were supposed to be back this week so kids could start next week. The reversal in the nation's third largest district also means roughly that thousands of special ed kids who started in-person classes earlier this month, they're also going back home. There's no reason for it, medically speaking. The kindergarten kids, pre-K kids, special ed kids, they're all going back home now. Because the Chicago Teachers Union is more powerful than parents or the mayor or President Joe Biden. They thumbed their nose at him, and he said, okay, it's fine. Of course it is. He is beholden to the teachers' unions. He has rolled over, as has Mayor Lori Lightweight. Mayor Lightweight there in Chicago has rolled over. No question that students are persevering, she says. And that's crap. The kids with the biggest challenge are the kids that can least afford it. It's an easy thing to figure out. Kids at the lower income brackets are the ones that will suffer the most. The ones that will drop out of school and never come back. Get messed up with gangs and drugs and violence. How many millions of kids will be adversely affected by this 2020 fiasco? The answer is a hell of a lot of them. And that's on us. Because we let this happen. We let the teachers union dictate to us what should happen. Should be about the kids, but this is what the result is for some. For those that can afford it, they pull their kids out. They go to private school. They go somewhere else. They move to a state where schools are open. That's not available to a lot of people. In fact, most. And so the kids that are hurt the worst, are the ones that can afford it the least, because they don't have any place else to go. If you're on the south side of Chicago, in a housing project, and you don't have good, reliable internet or a steady home life, and you get sent home, and school is where you got a chance to, you know, get something to eat and make something of yourself, and they say, just go home and just get online and do class. And you're a freshman or a sophomore in high school. Well, that's gone now. It's never coming back. And now you're 16. Now you're 17. Now you've dropped out. We've created a whole generation of problems for the future, maybe more, because these problems will multiply. You'll need government assistance, correctional facilities, welfare assistance. Get the kids back in school. Wake up, America. It's the Steve Gerber Show.
At the Michigan Chamber, we want you to know that we are working for you.
We know the importance of staying healthy, keeping your family safe, and adhering to the governor's executive order.
But we also know the importance of keeping the economy going.
If your business is open, we want to support you any way we can.
We're going to continue working with the governor and working with the legislature to find solutions to your problems.
When it's time to get back to work,
together, we're going to bring this economy back.
Does retirement have to wait until my 70s?
Is it great college for our kids?
Out of the question.
Is the American dream
out of our reach?
Not if we can help it. We're the National Endowment for Financial Education, a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping people just like you get smart about their money. Log on to smartaboutmoney.org today and start taking control of your financial life. Help is closer than you think.